That song touches my heart. That last song we sang. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for the gift of time. Thank you, Father, for all you've done for us, and you've given us much opportunities for service to you. Father, we are not our own, but we're bought with a price, and I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified. You take control of my heart, my lips, each one of our hearts, Father. Take control. Prepare us, Father, to be hearers and doers of your word, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get started, I've got a couple comments on how I spelled time. Time is a fleeting gift, and that's the title of the message. That's the way they spelled time back here maybe 1,000 years ago. This is a timetable. If you notice, I have an arrow on both ends. I had a man in prison one time ask me, who made God? He says, I got a question for you. I told him, you know, if you have any questions about anything about God's word. And he said, who made God? And I said, there's some things about God that you and I will never understand, and that is that God never had a beginning. And God will never have an end. But somewhere in between there, God chose to make time. From Adam, this is Methuselah, year 2000. That's the flood. The flood would have been about then. And this is about the time of the kingdom of Israel. Not quite. I think it's in here somewhere. But King Saul, David, and Solomon would have been right around here, just before the year of 1000 BC. And then, of course, it's Christ, BC and AD. And we have another 1,000 years. And the spelling back then wasn't so important before around 500 years ago. And here at the end, brothers and sisters, I wrote a little red mark. Everything is on a scale. I forgot to bring it. I have a measuring rule at home. That measuring rule goes by thousandths of an inch. If you want an idea of what a thousandth of an inch is, why, you take a dark hair. Mine's not dark anymore, but a dark hair would be about 3/1, okay? If you have a light hair like blonde or white, it would probably be 2.5 thousandths. That gives you an idea. A beard hair is thicker, there are about 4/1. That gives you an idea of what a thousandth of an inch is. If we would put, that measuring rule was at six inches, and it had decimal equivalents, your life and mine would be about a 16th of an inch, just a hair over that. Would be 70 years, 62 and a half would be a 1/16th of an inch. So our lifespan, and we talk about all of this, and from the time of Christ till now, that's our lifespan, approximately. And we are about 25 years past the year of 2000, so I made it a 1/4 inch. Every inch would represent 100 years on this scale. The scale I had at home, I'd be 1,000 years to 1 inch. Okay, I just want to give you a little bit of an idea here. Methuselah lived 969 years, I think. That would be from the flood, according to what it says about the ages there in the beginning. So-and-so lived so many years, and then he begat so-and-so. If you figure that all out, the flood was about 1656, 1656 years after Adam, and Methuselah lived before that. Some people think that Noah was building the ark by himself. He wasn't. Methuselah was Noah's grandfather, and he died a year before the flood, or within a year. Lamech, his father, would have been helping to build the ark, and he would have died, I think, 15 years before the flood. I think so. and believe that as it is. But here we are, brothers and sisters. I mean, we can look back to Christ, and we can look back to this spelling would have been about this time. By the way, does anybody know what this word says? That's another old spelling. And I know I told some of you, so maybe I shouldn't. What does that word say? Anyone? Faith. That's the way they spelled faith back, you know, back in the 1500s, somewhere around there. So here we are, brothers and sisters. Some of you, I mean, that's 70 years approximately, 3/4 of an inch, 75 years. I put it about 1/4 of an inch past the year 2000 because that's where we're at today. I know none of us is at 75. At least I don't think there's anyone here that old. I'm getting pretty close to it. But we all have eternity. I mean, eternity is way out there. But the time and opportunity is now. It's not back there with Adam. We have nothing to say with what happened back here in the Israel's kingdom age. Could you imagine... Sometime in, I'd say right around here, is when the kingdom, nation of Israel fell. God dissolved the whole nation of Israel, which would have been, I'd say 700 or 800 years before Christ. And Israel was not a nation for thousands of years. From I'm thinking it's right around here somewhere is where that would have happened, where the nation was dissolved. And yet here we are about 4 years before, 4 years before I was born, Israel became a nation. I could tell you a little bit of a story. I'm going to take the time and do that. During World War II, Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of England, and he told the people, I offer you nothing but blood, sweat, and tears, but we will not surrender to Germany. And he was pretty strong about it. But England had a big problem, and they were running out of gunpowder, and they didn't know what to do about it. And they had a Jewish man that was a chemist, and they asked him to make some kind of a synthetic gunpowder, and he did. And they used that gunpowder to finish the war, okay? England there, the Normandy Beach was a battle which was the turning point of the war. After that, Germany started losing battle. But anyhow, when the war was over, that was in 45, they asked this German chemist what they can do for give what they can give him. They said, "We'll give you anything. You saved our nation." And I don't know if he gave him an answer right away, probably not, maybe a couple days later. And he said, "I want a free and independent nation for my people." Somewhere in here, Israel became a nation. And it was way back here, or here, where the nation fell apart. So it was almost 2,000 years or more. More than 2,000 years, I'd say about 2,700 years, that Israel was not a nation, and now they're a nation. It's fulfilling prophecy. Brothers and sisters, we are very, very close. I had a man tell me, we don't know when Christ is coming back, and that's true. He says it might be another 200 years, and I told him, yeah, it might be, but I hope not. I hope it's not that long. To me, I'd say anything over the year 2000 is like borrowed time. Someone would say anybody that's living over 70 years is living on borrowed time, and we are. What was I going to say? There was something I was going to say about that. It might come to me. If you want to, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Some of these men got a little bit of this yesterday morning. I had the devotions yesterday morning there. The father and son thing, and I didn't want to take away too much. That's Ephesians chapter 5. Here, let's see. I'm going to read verse 14 through 17. The key verse is verse 16. Ephesians 5:14. "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, that Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the key to that is we need to discern God's will. We need to walk in obedience to what we do understand. And as we, God's word is his will, okay? One place it says, I would that all men be saved. And they would. He would that all men be saved. And that's beautiful. But they're not going to all be saved because he gave man a free will and man will make a choice. But we can have revival and we can pray for revival, and I do. And personal revival is a real key, brothers and sisters. We need a personal relationship with God, and you'll never regret how close we can get with the Lord. And I believe the Lord wants to pour out his spirit in these last days. Job lived, this was the flood. I'm told that, I did some figuring and calculating, and I found out that Abraham would have lived in the time of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, which was Noah's sons. After the flood, I don't know if he met with those men, but there was not a lot of people on the earth in the time of Abraham. But they said, some people say that they believe that Job might have lived before the flood, which is not too likely. I don't think so, because then the book of Job would have had to get on the ark. But I believe it was about the time of Abraham. Others would say it was about the time of Abraham that Job lived. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he will stand on the earth someday. And he prophesied that about right here. And that was 2,000 years later when it became, or more than that, more than 2,000 years later is when the Christ came on the earth. In the latter days, he's going to stand on the earth. These are the latter days right here. Now, I would say, Christ did say to the, when those men there, on the day of ascension, when Christ arose, ascended into heaven, those angels said that Christ is going to come back just like you saw him go. We didn't see him come back, but I believe we will. We will very, very nearly in this age. One time, soon after I was married, about 1975, about the time our second child was born, we got some literature in the mail, and I was very immature spiritually. I didn't know my Bible real well, but from what I read of that literature, and it seemed pretty sound, and I appreciated what I got, and I thought I kept it, but I haven't had it now for years. I don't know where it is. But they said, it was talking about a lot of prophecies, and they had a timeline there and everything. It was laid out very well. And they said, and I agreed, back in 75, they said that they believe that these things will happen before the year of 2000. And back there, a lot of people believed that. And a lot of that would be like the Antichrist coming into power and so on, before the year of 2000. And brothers and sisters, we're 25 years past that, very, very nearly. And what are we doing with our time? We need to give ourselves complete to him. Redeeming the time, and there's the key here. You can also turn to Colossians chapter 4. Redeeming the time, that word redeem means to buy up time, use it. Use your time wisely, and I think it also says that here, therefore be not ye unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, Colossians chapter 4. Verse 4 to 6. That I might be, Colossians 4. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. That I may, okay. Walk in wisdom, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, make it savory. Others would love it. That ye may know how you ought to answer every man. We need to have a life that is given to the Lord and given as he would have it to be. The greatest thing, brothers and sisters, The greatest thing you will ever do is to commune with God. Draw near to God. We sing that song, nearer, still nearer, close to your side. I believe, and I'm going to give this, the scripture does not say this, but I believe that David, when God rejected Saul from being king, Samuel wept, I think he says he wept all night, and then God said to Samuel, you don't need to weep for Saul, I have rejected him from being king, but I have prepared me a king. Go to Bethlehem and the house of Jesse, I have prepared me a king among his sons. Okay, and we know that, what we know the story, how he went to Bethlehem and presented a sacrifice. But David was a man that I believe he, when he was tending sheep, he didn't get bored. I think he spent time communing with God. And because he had that communion with God, God was preparing his heart. He needed a king to rule over his people. I prepared me a king among his sons. And the Lord wants to prepare each one of us to be that lighthouse that God wants us to be. We are not the light. And I shared it yesterday. We are the mirror. We are the reflection of Christ. We can only reflect what he's given us. We can't, if the Lord would not give us light, we couldn't reflect light. We couldn't do it. So I believe David was a man that was communing with the Lord, and that's why he had, when he played that harp, he inspired himself while he was tending those sheep. But I believe that's why one of Saul's servants would have known about David. He said that there's a man that's cunning in playing the harp. And he did. They got David with Saul there. And if you want to study music, I'm sure Jesse would say more. Could say more about that. The power of God, the Spirit of God, drove those evil spirits away from Saul. I believe the Lord allowed that for a reason. The power of that music that he played already. He was already in that communing relationship with God. Therefore, that power drove those evil spirits away. I stand to be corrected if you want to. But when David went home again to tend the sheep, and then when Goliath was there challenging the children of Israel, and I could go back to that account, I'm not going to do that. David knew that this man was defying the God of the armies of Israel. He knew that, and he hated what this man was saying. And he also knew that his God was a living God. I mean, David's living God was a living God. And the God that this man worshipped, which was Dagon and Ashtaroth, I believe, he knew that was a dead God just sitting there, a piece of stone in that temple. That's all it was, a piece of stone. And they thought it was a God. And they had to make the thing themselves. They had to make their God. Our God never had a beginning. David knew that, and David had that relationship with God, and that's why he told Saul, when he killed that lion and that bear, he says, this man's going to be right like one of them, seeing he has defied the God of the armies of Israel, I think is how he said it. And you know, when Saul said, well, then go ahead, take care of it. And David, when Goliath saw David, he was intimidated. This guy's a youth, okay? By the way, he was not a small boy. Like the song says, only a boy named David. I would say he was at least 17 years old. He was not qualified to go into the army until he was 20. So he was somewhere between 17 and 19 years old. And when Goliath saw him, this youth is gonna come in and challenge me. And David had that salutation there. He said, you come to me with a sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will deliver you into our hands. And David had no doubt whatsoever what God was going to do. Why? I can prove that because he ran toward the armies to meet the challenge of Goliath. And he had no doubt whatsoever what God was going to do. It was God. It wasn't him. I just read the account this morning. So brothers and sisters, we have an eternal living God, all wise, all powerful. Sometimes if we live in fear and become anxious, I think it's, you know, there's a place for that. But I think we need to have a living, trusting God that's alive in our lives, very real, very living, very powerful. And we need to act like it. And I trust we do. There's a reason why we're here. We're here as brothers and sisters, a body of Christ. It's very valuable, and I appreciate the body of Christ very much that we have here. That Christ would be glorified. Let's take some time for prayer. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in the past. You're the same God as you were then. And here we are in the last of the last days. And I pray, Lord, that in these last days, we could be that powerful light reflecting Christ and what he has done for us, that you would have complete control. We would learn what it is to yield everything into your hands. Help us, Father, to strive for your ways and become more and more like you, drawing nearer, still nearer to you because of all that you've done for us. May Christ be the center of our affections and our love. May we blend hearts together and be a united body like you want us to be. Thank you for all these many, many rich blessings. And I pray, Lord, that we would purpose to build for your kingdom, we would build for your blend hearts with each other and glorify your name and live for eternity. In Jesus' name and for his cause.